Mary. And when Pastor Randy asked me to do this, I said, is there anybody specific? And he said, no. Tell me, is there somebody that you think is extraordinary in the Bible? And I started thinking about it. And the person that came to my mind is Jochebed. Now, let me start by saying that before I told you her name, I went and looked up to make sure I was saying it right. You know, you can read your Bible all day long and pronounce the names however you want. And then you say it in front of somebody and they look at you and they're like, bless your heart, that's not how we say it. And so I got online and I'm looking at how to pronounce it. And they have, believe it or not, they have YouTube videos that are like 30 seconds long that tell you how to pronounce all these weird names. And these people take it very serious. They're very stoic and they're just like, Jochebed. So I'm listening to all these different things. It's cracking me up because then there's some people that take it really serious. And they're like, they sound like they're about to like hack up a lung. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go there. But it's Jochebed. And why is it important? Well, let me tell you. 2 weeks ago, I got back from taking my 49th missions trip. I know that that's a shocker because I'm only 20, but yeah, 49th missions trip. And it was my first missions trip with Lone Star Cowboy Church, and we took 26 students and young adults. And I have to be honest, it was probably one of the best I've ever taken. It just a fantastic group of young people. In that process, most of them have never been out of the country or on a missions trip. And so they were so eager to learn and to try new things. And part of it was to speak the language, right, which is Spanish. And it was hysterical because the first, like, day and a half, they're asking the translator, how do I say this? How do I say this? How do I say this? And the translators would tell them. Well, they got a little confident in themselves, you know. And so then they just start saying what they think they hear. And then we had a whole group of them who did not speak Spanish teaching each other how to speak Spanish. I'm sitting by watching this going, this could go really bad really quick. And they're saying things and people are coming up and they're like, what are they saying? I'm like, I don't know what they're saying. English or Spanish. Here we go. Let's work. So pronunciation's important. If I mess up any names in this, I'm just asking for a little grace this morning. So we're going to call her Jochebed. That's the best thing I could come up with, all right? What do we know about her? She was a Hebrew slave in Egypt, all right? So her life was not glamorous. A Hebrew slave, she didn't get to pick the life that was given to her. It was forced upon her. She gave birth to Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Now, we all know about Moses. We hear tons about Moses, but very little about his mama. Most people would say, well, there's not much to talk about. I disagree. I think her life is worth dissecting, and we're going to do that this morning. It starts off in Exodus chapter 1. What you have is all of these Hebrew children who have moved into Egypt. They have grown in such great number that Pharaoh becomes very intimidated and he forces them into a place of slavery. So they were there, actually brought in, and it was a good thing, and it turned out to be a bad thing, and they're forced into slavery. And then he goes on to say, wait a minute, this is not good. We're going to kill all these newborn babies. In Exodus 1:22, Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. So think about that for a second. One day, life is okay. Next thing, you're a slave. Then the next thing, if you have a son, he's going to die. Now, it doesn't go on to why they didn't kill the daughters, but I'm going to tell you something. God's people, boy or girl, they're going to make a difference. All right? And so you've got this whole thing happening. So here's this woman. She already has two kids. Obviously, that happened before the decree. And in Exodus chapter 2, it begins to talk about Moses' life. He's born. And the story begins, a very radical story. Jochebed gives birth to Moses. It seems really like not a big deal. People give birth every day. But the situation in which she's in makes it a little bit more uncomfortable. I was reading an article about the significance of babies, and I want to tell you what it says. F.W. Borham observed it as he surveyed the year 1809. That year stood midway between two great battles that shaped the destiny of the world, the Battle of Trafalgar, which destroyed the naval might of Napoleon, and the Battle of Waterloo, which destroyed his military might. Everyone was thinking of the battles. No one was thinking of the babies. Yet in that 1 year, William Gladstone was born in Liverpool. Lord Alfred Tennyson was born in Somersby. Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Massachusetts. Abraham Lincoln was born in Kentucky. Frederick Chopin was born in Warsaw. Felix Mendelssohn was born in Hamburg. Which of the battles of 1809 mattered more than the babies of 1809? When a wrong wants righting, or a work wants doing, or a truth wants preaching, or a continent wants opening, God sends a baby into the world to do it. That is why long, long ago a babe was born in Bethlehem, and that is why long before that baby of Jesus, that birth of Jesus, another babe was born in a slave hut on the banks of the Nile. I'm gonna tell you something. We talk a lot about how unborn children and their lives matter. And you wanna know why we believe that? Because it's true. From the beginning of time, God has used babies to change this world. And not just the unborn. Every child matters. Every kid has the right to make a choice and to do something great with their life. And you can say, well, this sermon doesn't really apply to me. I'm not a parent. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. As a child of God, we're called to reach this next generation. So over there in the Family Life Center, we have a lot of little people that they have amazing prayer requests. They pray for the dog that their mom had when she was 5 years old that died. And we take it serious. But they also pray for grandma who's sick. And we talk, and these kids are going through things. I'm gonna tell you something, whether you have kids or you don't, those lives matter, and it's time that we start paying attention. So Jochebed had to make a hard choice. A hard choice in an even harder circumstance. Y'all, I'm gonna tell you right now, we're not afforded. You can say you are, but you're not. We're not afforded the opportunity to say, well, my circumstances are too hard, so I'm okay not to make the right choice. As children of God, it's black and white. We have to trust that God is who he says he is, and we can't say, well, this situation's too difficult, so it's okay if I bend a little here. It's okay if I don't completely follow God here. In that moment of having this child, she had to say, this child's life matters. This situation is grim. This situation is hard. This situation is unfortunate. This was not what I dreamed of as a little girl, but yet here we are. She had to make a hard choice. Exodus 2:2 reads it, the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. I like the way Hebrews 11:23 reads it better. Let's look at that. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The king's wrath was something to be feared. They knew. I mean, imagine that just for a minute. They knew this baby's born and so cute. Just want to squeeze it, it's so cute. And that moment of going, I love this child more than every fiber of my being, all of a sudden reality had to hit. What do we do now? What do we do? If he finds out that we've got this baby, we risk more than him dying, our whole family could die. What about our other two kids? They made up their mind not to murder their child in cold blood, but to trust God. And God turned their honor, he turned their faith into something to be honored. She could only hide and protect that baby for so long. I can only imagine, I think about this all the time. I don't know if y'all have ever had a newborn and they talk about sleeping like a baby. That is the weirdest phrase ever. Like, what is that? Like, you sleep every 2 hours and get up and eat? Like, that's horrible. Like, you should not sleep like that. But think about that in this little mud shack hut type situation. They hid a newborn baby for 3 months. That was skill, first of all. And when that 3 months was coming to an end, you know her nights were long. I imagine that mama sitting there crying, going, what are we gonna do? Talking to her husband, what's the plan? What are we doing here? The hour, this is my favorite part. The hour had struck though, y'all. for the enslaved Hebrews to be emancipated from Egypt. 4 centuries earlier, Abraham, there had been a prophecy given, and it's in Genesis chapter 15, 13 and 14. It says, then the Lord said to Abraham, let me say that one more time. Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on that nation and that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Egypt's time was up, and there was a little baby in the hands of a mama that was about to make that happen. Jochebed had to draw from her foundation. The Bible doesn't say this, but what the Bible is clear about is that the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, they knew what God had said. They taught their children, and they taught their grandchildren, and they talked constantly about prophecies and the things that were of God. So the story of Noah, follow me here for a second, was nothing new. And in that process, they knew what Noah had done. They knew that Noah had built this ginormous ark. They knew that God gave Noah specifics on how to make that ark waterproof when he didn't fully even understand what rains or a flood was. They knew that Noah got in that boat with his family, and they knew that when the storms of life happened on the outside, God protected Noah. So because we know that they knew these things, it only makes sense that she took the same materials, that pitch, and covered the inside and outside of that basket and essentially made a little ark. Noah was placed in an ark while judgment was happening on the outside. Jochebed was about to place her baby in a little ark while judgment was happening on the outside. I was talking to my husband about this, and he said something. He said, knowing the word of God empowers us to follow the will of God. I said, ooh, baby, that's good. I'm gonna write that down. Knowing the word of God empowers us to follow the will of God. What does that mean? Look, if you wanna know what God's doing or where God's leading, you better know what he's already done. Okay, it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Well, man, where is God taking our family? When was the last time you cracked open your Bible? When was the last time you went to see what he has already done? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always completes what he started, and he finishes his promises. He said, I'm going to set your people free. It wasn't a maybe. It was not if I have time. It wasn't a if I can. Yes and amen. So here we are. Jochebed puts her baby in the very river that was meant to kill him. Think about that for a second. The Nile River is not like Lake Conroe. Some of you, that is a shocker. Take it in for a minute. This river was full of snakes, crocodiles, piranhas, not to mention thousands of corpses of babies that were put there to die. And this mama takes that baby and puts him in his little ark, puts the lid on, and undoubtedly has a hard time exhaling when she releases him. Listen to me. Parents, listen to me. Trusting God with the unknown is one of the hardest things you will ever do, but if God is in it, your kids are never safer. Well, I can't let them go out there. This world is dangerous. Yes, it is, but your God is bigger. You can't keep your babies locked in your house for forever. But you know what's so cool? When God says, trust me, there's not a Nile River. There's not a devil in hell. There's not a bully. There's not a government that can get in the way of what he's doing. So she puts him in the river, and she releases. It was more than just believing in God. It's easy for us to believe in God. We're sitting in church because we believe in God. She trusted him in a very dark circumstance to lead her out into safety. And get this, essentially, the entire Hebrew population. The freedom of the future laid in the hands of the Lord in a basket floating through Death Valley. Jochebed sends Miriam to watch. Now, I always thought this was kind of weird because I'm like, she must not liked her. Hey, look. This is the way my brain works. Don't judge me. I'm about to put your brother in this basket. Like, between you and Aaron, I choose you if, like, go watch him die. I don't know. What was she? But that was not it. That was not it. Because for a mother to trust God to do what she did, she trusted God would carry through. There was a confidence in Jochebed that you don't always get, but when you got God, when you get on God's side, when you got God on your side, you can step into things that other people aren't comfortable stepping into. Miriam was there just to be a support. Why? Because if the waves started coming, she could reach out there. But the Bible says that Miriam walked along the side of the bank. And then that baby floats on up into the enemy's camp. I'm going to tell you something. We have to remember that we're never alone when God calls you out. Like, you get this, it'll change your life. If you get nothing else from me today, get this. When God calls you into something, when he calls you out, when he challenges you to step out, know that he's not sending you alone. The Holy Spirit is right there on the bank with you, and he is not going to let you fail. You're not facing this world alone. Kids or no kids, marriage or no marriage, job or no job, you are not in this alone. The Holy Spirit is on the sidelines, and you don't have to be afraid. But I can't see outside of this basket. Be glad, because what's outside of that basket may scare the mess out of you. Stay tucked into the goodness of God. He'll get you where you need to be. God honors Jochebed and gives her son back to raise and train for 5 years. I was talking to Pastor Rob about this because I was looking up, like, historically during that time, a mother nursed a baby for like 5 years. We were talking about Samuel, so it was like, okay. So what happens? The baby, if you don't know the story, that's a fish. Okay, the baby goes into the enemy's camp, and the princess is outside. Historically, she was one of the most feared women that ever reigned in Egypt. She's bathing. She sends her maidservant, get that basket. Opens it up, and I'm going to tell you something, everybody's a sucker for a cute baby. But more importantly, it's not a cute baby. Whether the enemy, whether the world is for it, when God's in it, you can't get in God's way. She pulls that baby out, and her heart is softened. So then Miriam, being so amazing, jumps out, and she's like, how are you going to feed that kid? You need a nurse. I know somebody. She's like, go get her. Comes back, mama. We get Moses back. And so for 5 years, she had Moses. She got to train Moses. She got to teach Moses. Everyone knows about Moses. Let me give you some fun facts about him. Number one, he's mentioned 784 verses in the Bible. In 784 verses, Moses is talked about. He's kind of a big deal. 705 are in the Old Testament and 79 in the New. Through God's leading, he freed the Hebrew children out of Egypt. Like that baby in a basket went back and took over, right? He set them free. Inspired by God, he wrote the Torah, or the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Written by Moses. Cool thing you might not know is the Mosaic Law lies at the heart of every sane piece of legislation on the world's statute books. This country that we should be so proud to be a part of was founded upon religious principles that were founded upon Mosaic Law. So not only did he set the Hebrew people free, he wrote the words that are still setting people free today. That's powerful. Where did he get it, though? This is my favorite part. Where did he get it? How did he know what he knew? Well, inspired by God. I'm going to tell you how else he knew. He had a mama that taught him truth. See, historically, women during that time, their job was to train the children. 5 years she poured into this baby, telling him everything she knew. Not one time did Moses not know that he was Hebrew. He lived years in a palace full of power and money and drugs and alcohol and women, and yet the foundation of who he was still there. Now listen to me. That I'm not telling you that you're like, well, look, I raised my kids and they're going crazy. Well, the Bible says train up a child in the way they will go. When they're old, they won't depart. That doesn't mean there's not going to be bumps along the way. Foundation changes things. Well, I don't have kids. Well, guess what? There's a whole lot of kids in this community, a whole lot of kids in this church that could use some foundation from some of y'all. She poured into him. She told him things. And so when the time came, he knew in his knower who he was. He knew. And he was able to push past circumstances. He was able to push past life. He was able to push past temptations and stand for what was right. Think about that for a second. I have two kids. Three if you count my husband. Let's say three. Okay. And there have been seasons. Now, when they were little, people were like, oh, your kids are so good. They were. We even thought we should teach a parenting class. We got this thing down. A little word of advice. Get parenting advice from people who have successfully raised their kids. Not from people who still have to wipe their rears. But life happened. My son, who is the strongest-willed human being, he is fantastic human today. There were moments he gave us a run for our money. And we taught him when he was really young, the bigger the giant, the harder the fall. He towers over me. I'll knock him out. He messes with me. I'm not scared. But there was a season where it wasn't easy. And I had to go back. His daddy had to go back to the fact that the foundation in which we established, he would come back to that. Here's what you and I have to understand. We live in a world where circumstances affect us all the time. We live in a world where things happen and we're like, well, I guess that's just the way it is. Here's what doesn't change: the Word of God. Right. His plan and his purpose do not change. His methods may change a little bit. We don't use hymn books all the time. Oh, the world's ending. No, it's going to be all right. We'll sing those hymns. But what you and I have to recognize, there's a world out there. There was an enemy that wanted to destroy Moses because he knew he was part of the lineage to Jesus. And that same enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy this community. And we have one option. Two, actually. Let him. Or look at what he's already done. And say, God, if you can do that for Noah, if you could do that for Moses, if you could be there for Jochebed, can you do it for me? Can you cover me and protect me so that when I'm going through this life and the storms of life happen, because my friend, they will happen. The storms of life are gonna happen. Can you trust him to cover you? Can you trust him to cover your child, your family? I'm here to tell you, I've got enough of a shady past for all of us. If none of y'all did anything wrong, I can share my past with you. God is so good. He's so good, and he's so quick to forgive. And he says, look, I'm not looking at your failure. I'm looking at what I created you to be. Will you trust me? Will you lean on me? Will you get inside of this covering and watch what I can do? Your past doesn't define you. Your mistakes don't define you. What you did 20 minutes before you walked in this church does not define you. I parted the Red Sea to free my people. I can get involved in your situation too. Bow your heads with me, please. Who would have thought that a woman who loved her family through obedience could be the catalyst to what set God's people free? God is good. And if nobody's ever told you this, let me be the first to tell you, He loves you. He sees you. He knows your name. And He wants to be a part of your story. So if you're in here right now and you could say, hey, I need Him in my life. I need Him in my world. I need Him in my situation. It's the most important decision you will ever make. We would love to pray with you. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? Anybody in here? Okay. Anybody else? Here's what I want to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you can say, yeah, you know what? I believe in God, but I don't always trust Him to follow through. I'm not the quickest to take Him at His word. I'm more often, how often do we go to social media or other people for answers instead of hitting our knees and going to the word? But you know what? In the world we live in, I've got to stop looking at circumstance and I've got to start leaning. The word says, lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight. If you're in here and you're like, hey, there's some areas that I need to like stop leaning in the wrong way, and I just need to trust the Lord. If that's you, I'm just going to ask. This is a big commitment, but guess what? We serve a big God. I'm gonna ask you to stand to your feet right now, all across the room. If you're like, look, I wanna trust God more. I'm standing, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm not perfect. I struggle myself sometimes. I find myself talking to other pastors before I talk to Jesus. Lord, I need to trust you more. God, I want to trust you with my kids. God, I want to trust you with what you're doing in this government. God, I want to trust you with what you're doing in our finances. Y'all, look at me. Exhale and let it go. Watch Him do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. Watch Him carry you through situations that the world said would destroy you. I don't care. In moments where we say there are thousands of fatalities, if God's not done with you, God's not done with you. But the only one that can stop God's plan in your life, my friend, is you. Cover it in pitch. Trust that the Holy Spirit's there. And then whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you face day to day, know that He's going to carry you through right up into that enemy's camp, and you're going to own that place. Let's pray. Grab the hand of the person next to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace, for your love, for your mercy, and for your presence in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you are not done with us. We thank you that you have a plan for us. Lord, that you don't look and you're not hung up on our financial situation, the economic situation, our insecurities, our inabilities, our failures, our infractions, Lord, but you look at us as someone that you paid a very precious price for. I thank you, Lord, that your love for us is so much bigger than anything we could even wrap our minds around. And Lord, I pray that your presence be so felt with every person in this room and every person watching online. God, I pray that they lean on you, that they begin to look to you when situations seem bleak. They don't know what to do, Lord. I pray that we would look at Jochebed and go, wait a minute. God, her situation wasn't perfect, but you were. And look at you, God. Look at what you did. Help us, Lord, in our lives to be the people that go, look at what he did. Look at what he's doing. Or guess what? Watch out. He's about to do something. I thank you, Jesus, for every person in this room and within the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you just wrap your arms around them and you take them into their worlds this week, boldly trusting you that you will complete what you start. Help us to be so in love with and crave your word that when we're looking for answers, we know where to go. Help us to not take everybody else's word for it, but to lean on you. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing. We love you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Listen, we have prayer team up here. If you want to talk to anybody, you want to pray with anybody, please come forward. The rest of you are dismissed. We love you, and we'll see you next week.